All right, Bang Bang, welcome to the Dog Walk presented by Barstool Sports. Very special guest today. We're crossing over in the Barstool universe. I am joined by Steve Robinson, the producer of the Kirk Minahan Show. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Eddie. Thank you for having me on the Dog Walk.
Steve, listen. Okay, so I like doing crossover.
You've had your head filled with lies. That's what's going on here.
Steve, this has been a long time coming, okay? So people that don't know Steve, I want you to kind of explain as best as you can the Kirk Minahan Show to a random person.
The Kirk Minahan Show is a show about Kirk Minahan and the universe that he's created. And we talk a lot about sports media. We talk about various figures in Boston, in New England. We probably talk more politics than your average Barstool show. And Kirk likes to talk about hypocrites. He likes to talk about frauds in the media, and he likes to do some investigating of those people. But I think that for some people, it can be claustrophobic. I mean, Kirk has described it as the most claustrophobic show in the world. We regularly have people on the show that go by a jar of mayonnaise for their Twitter avatar. And there are probably thousands of parody accounts that are all part of the world. And for Kirk, the audience is really the fourth member of the show, in addition to the three of us.
Definitely. And I know, you don't. I don't think you guys are Stern guys, right? Or you don't like him. Kirk doesn't like him.
Well, I think Kirk was. I think Kirk was a big Stern guy. But now, I mean, there's old Stern and then there's new Stern. And there's the debate over is the current iteration of Howard Stern who he always was? Was he always the guy who wanted to suck up to Hillary Clinton and dance with Ellen DeGeneres? Mm-hmm. He was just pretending to be something else, or is he pretending now? I don't know. So we're definitely out on Stern now.
For sure. I get the difference of what you're saying. I mean, but I would say that's still one of the best ways to maybe describe you guys in the sense that you as a producer are in on the show as much as anybody.
Yeah. I think that's maybe a little bit different than some other shows because, I talk a lot. We're in conversation the entire time. I'm, ridiculed in a Stern-esque way. Kirk has never, shied away from saying that he's a lot of what he does is inspired by old Howard Stern.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's fair enough. But what's your responsibilities on the show, Steve? Like, what do you need to get done?
I pull sound and stories and prep for the show, just like the basic producer stuff. I also do a little bit of sales, and I also do event planning. So far this year we did the trip in Madawaska. So I had to plan a live show in Madawaska, Maine, which is the northernmost town in Maine, about a 7-hour drive from Boston. And so we had to coordinate a live show and a day of ice fishing out there for 150 fans. So it's a little bit of everything. It's mostly just problem solving. And I do a lot of help with the investigative stuff. Like I pulled a police report from 2013 about an alleged suicide as part of our investigations into various enemies of Kirk Minahan. So it's always something a little different.
Yeah. See, and shit like that is so fascinating to me. Like I listened to the one where you guys had a caller who was from Milwaukee, I believe. And he said he worked at a deli, and out of nowhere, he said he's having problems because his girlfriend had porn.
His porn star girlfriend, Justin. Yeah, that was a weird call. And the funny thing is we haven't heard from that guy since, but everything he said checked out. So it's not like he was making up something or playing a character. But yeah, that's one of the risks you take when you have open phone lines, which we developed the phone lines. We've got an interesting internet-based solution to take phones without having to like pay to have the phone lines installed, which is like prohibitively expensive. You get a real interesting cast of characters. Like there's one guy that pretends to be Blind Mike's dad. There's one that pretends to be his girlfriend. There's one that pretends to be Moss Dudley, who apparently had a fling with Kirk's mom, and he's this black guy, and maybe Kirk's half black. We don't know. So the callers, an additional way for the callers to participate. And I don't think a lot of podcasts at Barstool take calls.
Yeah, no, it's crazy town.
That's a pretty good way to put it.
It's crazy town, and I love that shit. I don't know how familiar you are with this show, but bringing the common person, I've had people from anywhere from a Burger King manager to a mailman, and just kind of the lore that these people have held on from, the year and a half that the show has been going on has been cool to me because it's like that's different. I definitely love like that aspect of the show that you guys use for sure.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, it's a double-edged sword. Sometimes, you know, they can say stuff or do things that look bad for us or piss Kirk off or something like that. But on the whole, it's really positive. It's its own little content factory, and the show's going, you know, 24 hours a day. We've also built out our YouTube channel, which we allow fans to do shows on. So we've got like 10 different shows that are hosted by fans, and they've been going for a couple of weeks, and we get, you know, 1,000 views on all of them. So it's pretty interesting. People seem to enjoy it.
Yeah, for sure. People like to be involved. People like to fucking, you know, just be in the mix, man. And then that's the Minahan show for sure. What is like the Minahan fans, for better or worse, why do they catch so much flack?
Because they're fiercely loyal, and they're also very effective at going after Kirk's enemies. That's why that's why they get flack, is because they're very effective, and they like to troll people online, but it's never like vicious stuff. It's just, you know, pointing up hypocrisy. Like I think the Barstool email blast today was about Julie DeCaro. Well, I think like probably 75% of the Minifans are blocked by Julie DeCaro, because when Kirk took his leave for mental health and tweeted out about it, she tweeted out something that was basically like, fuck this guy. When Kirk was at his lowest, she decided to piss on him. So the Minifans went after her and called her out for her hypocrisy. They started listening to her show. They started calling into her show and trolling her, trying to get in arguments with her. And it's not like vicious, misogynistic stuff. It's just, you know, arguing with her, just using facts, just pointing up like, now, for example, she works at Deadspin, but she used to shit on Deadspin, and she went and deleted all of her tweets. So one of the Minifans used like the Wayback Machine, the Internet Archive, to go and find all the deleted tweets and threw them back in her face. So they're like they're internet sleuths, and they're relentless. And so that's probably why they get a bad rap.
Interesting. So that's kind of a little bit of an Opie and Anthony vibe, a little bit, with a little Jacktober action there, if people know what I'm talking about, calling into shows and getting in the mix.
Yeah, that's something that we've done a lot of prank calling. You know, the Minifans will do a prank call on some sports radio show out in the Midwest or in the West Coast, and then you know, send it to us. If it's funny, we'll play it on the show. And sometimes we do prank calls from the show. We have fun fucking around with other people.
Sweet, yeah. So that's what I definitely wanted to lay the groundwork of the show here to start, because now I want to switch gears and switch it over to you. So
okay.
I became kind of aware of the Steve Robinson brain, so to speak, when I did a stream with Kirk a couple weeks ago with the Lights, Camera, Barstool guys.
Of course. Yeah, I was watching. You guys watched Creed 2, right?
We watched Creed 2, horrible movie, and I got Kirk to kind of agree with me there at the end.
Yeah, it wasn't the best movie, I'll say that. Yeah. It wasn't as good as the movie night we did.
No. Yeah, we'll get to that for sure. And that's when the chat's blowing up, for people that don't know. When you do these streams, there's like a chat, people could interact, and people kept blowing up about shit that you do. And I'm just naturally a curious person. And I just kind of wanted to delve into that, because some things are just fascinating to me.
All right. Well, where do you want to start?
So, of course, I go, I knock right at the door to your listeners to say, what do I got to talk to Steve about? So, the first thing is that you are an aspiring bed and breakfast owner.
Well, correct. Yeah.
So, what gets you? Like, the fact that it's a little more homey, the rooms are smaller, so there's no...
No, it's not like I want to be a bed and breakfast owner as opposed to owning a chain of hotels. I just think that it'd be a very peaceful existence. You know, you're your own boss. You just live out in the country somewhere in Maine, and you know, make a little money, and you just like cook all day. And yeah, I think that'd be a very peaceful existence. So I mean, honestly, to anybody who doesn't want to run a bed and breakfast, it kind of confuses me. Like, what, do you just want to live stacked on top of other human beings in a city for the rest of your life?
Now, do you have this planned out, though, Steve? Do you got a spot with like a nice spacious deck in the back? Like, do you know what you're going to serve? Like, is it going to be a water cooler in front?
Yeah, I mean, I thought most about the menu because I like cooking, but I think we would want to do it somewhere in coastal Maine. We actually, I got married to my wife at a bed and breakfast in Maine, and the couple that ran it were like just a little bit older than us, and we're like, man, that would be a very peaceful lifestyle. You know, you just, it'd be nice not to have a boss and to, you know, just live, I think, in nature, someplace beautiful, maybe on the coast. But it is heavily real estate dependent. I think like until you actually see a place and buy it, you can't really start to plan much else about it.
So there's a sentimental tie here though, Steve. Like you got the wife factor. You proposed there, you just said?
No, we got married there.
You got married there. So what, like right in the kitchen? Is there a backyard?
No, there's a big backyard kind of overlooking the Gulf of Maine.
Big wedding?
It's a nice place. No, it was like 100, 115 people.
How many rooms was in the bed and breakfast?
Not like everybody stays at the bed and breakfast. Just the wedding party stayed at the bed and breakfast.
Don't you feel like that's a little too exclusive, though, Steve? You got to get more people
involved. Well, no, they stayed at a hotel just a little ways away in Bath, and we arranged for a trolley. Trust me, this was a very well-planned wedding.
You liked the bed and breakfast that much that you had your wedding there.
Yeah, it was. It's called the 1774 Inn. It was built in 1774 by a shipmaker in Phippsburg.
So why do people give you shit about it then? Like you have your reason.
I don't know. They want to be, I don't know, media executives. They want to live in New York City or Boston for the rest of their lives. They just have a different vision of what the good life is. My vision of the good life is being as far away from other people as possible and having a self-sustaining income. See, that's the thing. You scratch at the surface of some of this stuff and it's not that weird, Eddie.
No, I mean, I'll be honest right now. Here's what I'm worried about, Steve. You know how it works. Here's how we bring this up. And then someone throws a clip at me and be like, well, Steve left this out. So you sure we're not leaving anything out here?
No, we're not leaving anything out. I really would like to own a bed and breakfast someday. I don't know how there could be any other context for that. I mean, I think they were amused when I said that I would cook like, you know, goat vindaloo. And one of my justifications for saying that I would run a bed and breakfast and market it to gay people is because gay people tend not to have kids as often. So they have two incomes, lots of money to spend.
Oh, okay. So yeah. You're a little strategic here with this bed and breakfast. All right, Steve, moving on here. This one was maybe my number one right now, okay?
Okay.
Apparently, you went to a burger shop that said Gourmet
Burgers and Brews, correct.
Yeah, so you're like, you were telling a story to Kirk and Blind Mike, I believe, and you're like, yeah, I was over there. I went with a friend. We hit up Gourmet Burgers and Brews.
Yeah, so it was a long night. It started out because I was doing like a sales thing in around Burlington, and then I had to go do this other live video stream with Dave Cullinane, who used to be the fill-in producer, but he's like a Minifan. I was very frustrated that I had to be doing that at all. And I ended up getting like a haircut that was too fucking expensive. So I was flustered. I was in a general poor state of mind, and then had to go meet up a friend for burgers. And if you look at the Red Robin on the side of it, it says in big letters, Gourmet Burgers and Brews. So I just, you know, head down. I'm like, oh, let's get this over with, walk in. And so I just assumed that it was Gourmet Burgers and Brews. You know how sometimes you're just not paying attention to shit? Like you're thinking about work. You're flustered. You just got a fucking shitty, expensive haircut. I just wasn't thinking about it.
Steve, you sold me on the bed and breakfast. I got to say, I don't see this, Steve. It's a fucking
thing
Red
is,
Robin.
Why wouldn't I have just called it a Red Robin if I knew it was a Red Robin?
I mean, I don't know.
Is it your contention, Eddie, that I knew full all along that it was a Red Robin and I just decided to call it a Gourmet Burgers and Brews?
Well, are you trying to sound a little fancy pants? Like, were you like, I didn't go to
No,
the
I legitimately place? Thought that the place was called Gourmet Burgers and Brews because it was in big letters. Did you see the picture that I tweeted out?
Yes, I did. I did see it.
That's pretty compelling evidence supporting my belief that that was a Gourmet Burgers and Brews.
So that's the punchline, people. Here is he called a Red Robin Gourmet Burgers and Brews, and I mean, what?
I actually thought that was the name of the restaurant. I don't understand why it needed to become a federal investigation. I mean, there have been more hours spent investigating me calling Red Robin Gourmet Burgers and Brews than the fucking JFK assassination.
But Steve, come on, it's a fucking Red Robin. Now,
it's the first time I've ever been to a Red Robin.
Really? But yeah. Now, I mean, I even know the jingle. You know, it's like you don't ever heard that.
No, I've seen the commercials. Yeah, Red Robin. Yeah, no, I am intimately familiar with everything about Red Robin after the last, you know, traumatizing several months of Minifan investigation into this.
So now, what happened from there? Now you brought this up on the show, and Kirk was like, "What the fuck are you talking about? Like, what's a gourmet burger and brew?"
Yes, and then we did some investigating during the show, and I was quickly led to the conclusion that it was in fact a Red Robin where I had been eating, and not a Gourmet Burgers and Brews.
Okay, I mean I listen. I'll take
it's really not that it. It's really not that difficult, Eddie.
Well, Steve, I'll take your word for it because it's our first conversation.
I'm just a guy who made a mistake.
Okay, all right,
and I admitted to it immediately. It's not like there was some vast cover up here. I think the focus of the investigation was my claim that I had five French fries were served to me, when in fact the blind Mike went there after the fact and got a burger and fries, and he was given at least 15 French fries. And also I later learned that Red Robin does bottomless fries. So my complaint of receiving too few fries is completely without basis. There's no legitimacy to that.
Invalid claim from Steve. Okay. Yeah. All right, Steve. So we're already getting the story minced here. So just for those taking notes at home.
Just so you know, Red Robin did send me a commemorative hat out of all of this. Yeah.
Now, were you upset when it didn't just say Gourmet Burgers and Brews? Did you rip the Red Robin cast?
No. See, I wasn't like going to the mat trying to defend that I was in fact right. It's just a mistake. People make mistakes.
All right, hey, let's take a quick break here from Steve Robinson. Let's talk about the sponsor of this show. It is JP Graziano. So listen, I know you Minna fans are loyal. I know you guys always look out for Kirk's products on the Kirk Minahan Show, because if they support him, then obviously you're going to support them. This is our guy here. His name's Jim from JP Graziano. It's just a one local deli here in the heart of the West Loop of Chicago. They ship some products, okay? So if anyone out there in Boston, East Coast, wherever you guys are listening from, if you guys want some muffaletta mix or if you want some jardinere, it's a nice little spread, okay? It goes great on a sandwich, goes great on Italian sauces, beef sandwiches, whatever. Go check them out. Go to JP Graziano. Hover over the Taste Real Chicago tab and you can order it. They'll ship it wherever, all 48 states. I don't know about Alaska and Hawaii, but you could try. But regardless, if the Minna fans want to hop in at jpgraziano.com, I think you guys will really like this. It's a great product and it'll enhance your food game. So yeah, go check out JP Graziano at jpgraziano.com, Taste Real Chicago tab. All right, let's get back to Steve Robinson.
Now, you got to explain this fully again. Apparently, you have a difference between ants and aunts.
Yeah.
A-U-N-T-S versus A-N-T-S?
Yeah, like I've got Aunt Judy and Aunt Rhonda.
Now, I don't even know what to say, because when I asked Kirk about this,
I don't understand why that's weird. Do you only have aunts or only aunts?
I only have aunts. That's it.
Oh, okay. I guess that's probably like a Chicago Midwest thing.
No, Steve, don't do this. This is a Steve Robinson versus the world thing, I feel.
No, it's not. We polled this on Twitter, and there was like 25% of people who voted in our Twitter poll said that they have aunts and aunts. Again, this is like I'm the most normal person on the podcast. I'm probably the most normal person working at Barstool Sports. Everyone else is just fucking weirdos.
Steve, I feel like I maybe should have got a Minna fan in my corner here to kind of provide some context here. All right. This won't be the only one we do with these. We could run this back.
I can invite one in right now. I send out the link to this StreamYard and we will have 13,000 Minna fans crawling in this.
That would be great. Let's do into that next time.
I think if you just interviewing a random Minna fan about their fanatical devotion to Kirk Minahan would be great.
But now, it would be. But now I'm thinking, I asked Kirk, I said, well, is it like his mom's side, his aunt, and his dad's side, his aunts? And he goes,
No. It depends on the aunt or the aunt.
So explain. Explain further.
I can't really. People want there to be a system or a methodology behind it, but it's just how I grew up referring to aunts and aunts. Again, you're thinking that this is like some imponderable mystery, like who built Stonehenge? No, it's just how I grew up. I have Aunt Denise and Aunt Janet.
Steve, I can't put my finger on this one, but I feel like there's something funny going on.
There's really nothing funny going on,
Steve. If you think about it like this, but you just woke up one day and you're like, you're an aunt, you're an aunt, you're an aunt, you're an aunt, you're an aunt. Like that's how you did it?
I think that's just how our family refers to them. And I'm not alone. Again, 25% of the Kirk Minahan world also have aunts and aunts. We can pull it again. We can replicate the science.
But I think it's one or the other, no?
No, it's not. Not for a lot of people.
All right. It seems like you're dying on this hill. So
I will die on this hill. I mean, what am I going to do? Am I going to start calling Aunt Judy Aunt Judy because a couple of Minna fans have asked questions about it? They don't see the system or the methodology behind it. Doesn't make sense to them. Am I going to change up my whole aunt game just to satisfy those people? No.
Now this last one is where it gets into kind of more of an opinion piece. Okay. So this
they're
is
all just, opinion pieces. Well, when it gets right down to it, the stinky Canadian guy who tweeted out the list of Steve's lies. He's like, oh, Steve prefers the color red. Oh, that's a lie. Fuck that guy.
No, are
the
you
foreigners,
a liar?
The foreigners have a big problem.
Are you a liar?
No. If I was a pathological liar, do you think that Kirk Minahan would be paying me gobs of money to produce his podcast? I don't think so.
But it's also worth noting that Kirk didn't know this side of you before he hired you, right?
Yeah, so would he just continue to hire me?
Yeah, I guess. Well, maybe. I mean, he's certainly got his content filling.
He's the one who started this entire Steve's a liar thing because he and Mike didn't believe that I finished at second place in a hot dog eating contest.
Okay, so now from what I've heard about this story is you claim you finished second in a hot dog eating contest, but you couldn't remember when it was. And he gave the range of years from 13 years old to 19 years old?
Yeah, it wasn't that specific of a memory. What happened was I was wearing a Red Hot Dog Festival t-shirt. So the place that I grew up in, Dexter, Maine, is the home of the Red Hot Dog Festival. And I went there one year. I think it was like 2016. I just bought one of the shirts, but it was like after the festival had happened. But Dexter's always had some kind of like civic town event, whether it was Dexter Days for a little while, it was the Wild Wild West Days. And then the newest iteration of it is the Red Hot Dog Festival. And so based on the t-shirt, which has got like, a little hot dog with a smile on it, giving you the thumbs up. Kirk was like, what the fuck is that shirt you're wearing? So we got into talking about red snappers, which are the superior form of hot dog. I'm sure being a Chicago guy, you'll have strong hot dog related preferences.
I haven't tried them, so I'm not gonna.
I'll have to mail you some red snappers because after Red Snapper Gate, we did acquire the official red snapper sponsor of the Kirk Minahan Show, which is wow. Beans Meats in Bangor, Maine, and they also sponsored our show in Madawaska and donated a bunch of hot dogs and sausage. But anyways, I took second place in the hot dog eating contest. I lost to my left tackle, Harlan Ackerson. And they thought that this was somehow like a boastful brag. Like I was saying, like I could have played Division I football or something, but I turned it down. Like they thought that somehow finished. I meant it as like, you know, the thing from Anchorman where the newspaper tabloid pops up and it's Ron Burgundy finishes second place in a hot dog eating contest. I meant it to be like a self-disparaging remark. And Kirk and Mike treated it like, oh, you finished second in a hot dog eating contest? Like, oh, what a braggart. So thus began the investigation into the archives of hot dog eating in Dexter, Maine by the Minifans.
But I mean, you got to wonder if you took first in the red snapper eating contest, would you have been bragging or not?
Yeah, I think so. If I took first, definitely.
That's what I mean.
So if I was making it up, why wouldn't I just say I took first place?
But what's with the wide range of ages though? That's where
it just wasn't that big of a memory for me. And I went to a lot of those like Dexter Days and festivals. So I don't remember when that specific hot dog eating contest was.
But
can you tell me the time and date of every hot dog you've ever eaten, Eddie?
No, but if I was in a contest where I'm scarfing them fucking down the truckload, like I think I would maybe remember like a better range. No.
Yeah, maybe, but I didn't.
But so what was, did I get the range right?
It's important to note that Harlan Ackerson was actually reached by Minifans about this event in question. And he confirmed that we did participate in a hot dog eating contest, although he didn't remember what place I finished in. So the reality of me participating in a hot dog eating contest has been established. The only thing that's in doubt is whether or not I got second place. And I think there were like seven people in the hot dog eating contest.
Okay. I feel like you're pulling the wool over my eyes in this whole show here
today. Maybe I am. Maybe I am, Eddie.
So here's what I think I'm going to do. I think this is going to be the first part. And then I think maybe the next one is going to be these stories explained from someone else. Does that sound better?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right.
That's fine. Get on. There's a guy in Australia who hates me. There's a guy in Canada who hates me.
But I feel like I can get local people who hate me.
Yeah, you can get Mike on.
And he can kind of explain this better.
I don't know if he's allowed to talk to you as per the new rules laid down on him by Dave Portnoy.
Yeah, I could probably get – Kirk would probably do it, right? He'd probably hop on.
Oh, yeah, Kirk would do it with you, definitely.
Then maybe yeah,
Kirk and Mike would both do it with you. So yeah, you can have them on. You can explore them at length.
All right. So this will be good. This will be like kind of a first part here. Then I'll try to get Kirk, and we'll try to iron out these and see what we missed and see what was you know a little skewed. Does that work?
Yeah, that works for me. You should ask him. I mean, like, there's so many other things on this list that are complete and utter bullshit. Like that, I'm like somehow I'm a Russian spy or something like that. Like, come on.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. A tennis player, a known poet. Still images get the job done for you. I mean, I don't even think we peaked the surface, or we reached the surface. Excuse me. So I think maybe we'll run this back here in a little bit. Does that work?
All right. Yeah, that works for me. I'm always available. How are you guys doing during the coronavirus stuff? Are you mostly just like business as usual or?
Yeah, we're like you guys. We have the luxury. There's only six of us, and I think there's only three of you, right?
Yeah.
So we haven't missed a day in the office. We've been inside. Yeah. We've been doing series. So thankful for that, you know?
Yeah, definitely. It's helped keep you fucking sane during this time, still having a little bit of a routine. If I was like trapped at home, that definitely wouldn't be a good look.
Yeah, no, I feel you. So yeah, just getting in your car is just nice, you know?
Yeah.
Taking a drive. Yeah. But all right, Steve, thank you for joining me. I appreciate it. I'm fascinated. This was not a hit piece, Steve. This was a
Have you watched Bicentennial Man yet?
No, I have not watched Bicentennial Man. That's another story.
Our next movie night, I think, is going to be Glitter, Mariah Carey's big screen debut. Have you ever seen that?
No, I've never seen that one. You think it's good, though, I assume?
No, it was a bomb. It was the worst movie in the history of movies. So we're going to watch it to make fun of Mariah Carey and all her dumb fans.
Oh, because you guys don't like Mariah Carey, right?
Well, no, they picked a fight with us, the Lambley. I still have Mariah Carey fans calling me at 11:30 at night, like dozens of times.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys are...
The Mariah Carey fans fight dirty.
You guys are in the weeds, Steve. You guys are so in the weeds, man. But no, thank you for doing this. I appreciate it.
Sounds good, Eddie. Thanks, man.
All right, everybody, quick update. After I recorded with Steve, I reached out to Kirk. Kirk's going to come on the show, and he's going to kind of tell me his version of these stories. I'm sure they're a lot different. Maybe not, though, so who knows. But really excited to it. Kirk will be on tomorrow. We'll see you then.